Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today, we continue through this book of Philippians. We're in chapter 3, so the first 11 verses, you can follow along as I read this. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Here ends our lesson. Dear friends in Christ, it was several years ago, I was sitting in a waiting room somewhere, waiting for someone, but I found a magazine to pass the time a little bit. It was a business magazine, and as I read the article, one of the articles in the magazine, it really caught my attention and made me think a little bit. It said that if you are working on a project at work, you should practice something that's called the elevator pitch. You ever hear something? I've never heard the phrase. I had never heard the phrase before. The elevator pitch, the exercise of the elevator pitch. If you've never heard of it, if you're like me, here's the idea. Pretend that you are in an elevator, and who should walk into the elevator while you're standing there but your boss's boss? Your boss's boss. Now, In 20 seconds, the time it takes to get from one floor to the next, can you put together a pitch to your boss's boss for that project that you are working on at work? And what would you say? You know, the article went on to say that you should pick your favorite project at work, your favorite thing that you think your job is best at, and come up with your own elevator pitch for it. I thought, you know, that's a really good idea. I thought it was an outstanding idea. Even if you never get 20 or 30 seconds of alone time with your boss's boss for your favorite project at work, it's still a really good idea to evaluate what you're doing and why you're doing it. Even and especially if you're talking about the elevator pitch and spiritual things like we're going to do today. St. Paul, in the lesson we're considering today, in a very real sense, talked about an elevator pitch. You know, what if somebody asked you, what are you all about? What is really the most important thing for you? What would you say? In reality, don't we all answer that question all the time with how we live our life? Oftentimes, what you spend your money on, what you say, what you do, it all answers those important questions about what's really important to you in life. They always say, if you want to know what's important to somebody, what their priorities are, look at their checkbook and where they're sending all their money. Today, the Apostle Paul put it a little bit differently. He said, on what do you place your confidence? What is so important to you? On what do you place your confidence? And for Paul, he answered the question in two ways. He said, I'll answer it on the basis of what I was like before I became a Christian, and then I'll answer it on the basis of my being a Christian now. As Paul gave his answer for the elevator pitch about what was really important for him in his life, what was really his confidence in life, as we study his, we'll be able to sharpen our own elevator pitch about what's really important to you and me and where we place our confidence as we go through life. You know, all of this came about, this whole thing came about because there were some false teachers who were threatening Paul's beloved church in Philippi. This is what he said. St. Paul wrote, "Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence." Paul didn't pull any punches, did he? When he's talking about false teachers and false teaching, he didn't pull any punches. He always told it like it was, right? There were these false teachers, Jewish false teachers, that were trying to convince people in the congregation there in Philippi that you had to obey Old Testament laws in order to get into heaven someday. And Paul was having none of it. He was having none of it. He came down really hard on those Jewish false teachers. You could tell by the way that he described them, even sarcastic names that he gave them in his response. He actually called them dogs. Did you catch that? He called them dogs. Do you know why Jewish people didn't like dogs very much? It's because dogs were always found around ceremonially unclean things. And the other place you could find dogs was near the garbage, always by the garbage. They didn't like dogs very much. St. Paul called those Jewish false teachers dogs, people who were unclean in God's sight, teaching terrible things to God's people. He said, you are teaching people that you have to actually do something to earn God's favor in order to be in heaven someday. You're not teaching them about good works. You are doing evil works as you do that. Shame on you. In fact, Paul went on to argue that really it was the Christians who were the true believers, because the Christians were the ones who were worshiping God in truth, not like the Jewish false teachers. The Christians were the ones who didn't put any confidence in the flesh, in the things that they could do by themselves. Instead, they put their confidence in the Lord. Paul even added, you know what? Once upon a time, I could have given you all sorts of reasons why I could boast about me and what I could do to be in God's good favor. At least at the time, that's what I thought. You know, what follows in the lesson is Paul's elevator pitch about what was really important to him, what had been important to him before he became a believer in Jesus. This is what he said. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Oh, Paul was at the top of the heap, wasn't he? As far as being able to boast about himself and what he could do and the confidence that he had in himself before God. He had it all, right? He said, well, I was circumcised on the eighth day according to the ceremonial law. I was an Israelite, part of God's chosen people that he had formed and chosen for himself. I was even a Benjamite, of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, that was the tribe that actually owned the land on which the temple and Jerusalem was built. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I actually studied the law. I could speak Aramaic fluently. He was trained as a Pharisee, an expert in the law. He said, I was even zealous for these things. I was so good at doing all these good things that the law demanded of people to do in order to be in God's good graces. I was fantastic at it. If there had been a who's who in Judea, they would have written a fine article about Paul. This was his life. That was his elevator pitch about what was really important, on what he put his pride in. He was someone who was so confident in himself. Everything had been all about Paul. That's how Paul had answered the big questions. Who am I? What am I about? What's really important to me? On what do I place my confidence? That's how he answered the questions. How do you answer the questions? You know, as we talked about before, a lot of times people can get a window into what you consider important in your life by the attitudes that you put on display and the actions that you put on display for people to see. So, some people would say, I can see what's important to you by how you spend your money. So what's important to you? Is it your car? Is it your house? Is it your recreation? Is it your education? Is it your boat? Is it your cabin? What is it that is so important to you? Or sometimes people say, yeah, you can really tell what's important to somebody by how they spend their time. You really get a window into somebody's life about what's important by how they spend their time. So where are you spending your time? What's most important with your time? Is it your work time that's most important to you? Is it your recreation time? Family time? Is that the trump card that supersedes everything? Family time? Remember, all of these things, they are not wrong or bad or sinful in and of themselves, are they? But the question that we're asking is, what is the most important thing to you? On what do you place all of your confidence? And it's so easy, isn't it, to shift that focus to ourselves, to make us the most important thing, to make me number one. If you think about it, the world that we live in, everything around us screams, you are the most important one. Everything should revolve around you. You should always come first. Your sinful nature will always say you should place your confidence in yourself. It's the sinful response to the elevator pitch about what's really important. A trap that we often fall into, isn't it? With our words and our actions. It really comes down to the sin of pride on our part, right? We make ourselves out to be little gods and little goddesses where everything revolves around me. I become the most important one all the time. Could you imagine if Jesus engaged in the game or the practice of the elevator pitch? I would think Jesus could stop the elevator, right? Anybody could stop the elevator in between floors, and he could give you 20 or 30 minutes about himself instead of 20 or 30 seconds in between floors, right? But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that at all when he came here walking and talking on this earth. Jesus' big project that he was working on was giving himself for us. That's what he was always talking about. That's what always guided his actions in his life. Even when Jesus was on the cross, he was still thinking about and talking about those who were so dear to him, the people in this world. Remember what he did on the cross? He forgave his enemies when he was on the cross. He promised that thief next to him that he would be with him together in paradise forever. He provided for his mom, make sure that she'd be cared for after he was gone. Jesus was always talking about this promise of eternal life with him in heaven because of this forgiveness of sins that he was going to provide and win for the world. These things, Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, these things that he did for us, these promises that he made to us, they tower over all of human history, don't they? They are the single most important things that have ever happened for anybody. They have such eternal consequences. And that is why the Apostle Paul said, now Jesus Christ is the focus of my life. Jesus Christ is my new response to the elevator pitch about what really is the center of my life, what I am all about, what's really important to me, what I really put my confidence in. This is how he put it in our lesson. He said, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Everything that Paul had boasted about in the past, everything that he had considered so important in the past, he now considered it loss for the sake of Christ. He now considered it garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ and trusting in him as his Savior from his sins. Did you know that the word garbage in the original Greek text, as Paul uses it here, it literally means excrement? That's what it means, excrement. For Paul, it was detestable to him, absolutely detestable to boast or brag about anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ, his Savior. This is what he said. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's passion, his passion now, was to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, to know and believe and trust in him, to know the power of Jesus' resurrection, even to suffer for the name of Jesus, however that would play out for the rest of his life. If you would stop the Apostle Paul in an elevator and asked him what his life was all about, what was so important to him, with as many seconds as you would allow him, he would talk to you about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had done for him, what Jesus had done for the world in saving the world, and how they had saved you too. Because Jesus Christ was now his life. Jesus Christ was the answer to his elevator pitch. Everything in Paul's life revolved around Jesus Christ. His confidence was all in with his Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful then that our God has also given his Son, Jesus Christ, for you and me and to you and me. Jesus Christ is still our Savior from our sins. He's the one that paid for them all on the cross. Jesus Christ is still the one who promises us eternal life in heaven with him forever. Jesus Christ is still the one who says, I will work everything out for your good, your eternal good, every single day that you are here on this earth. He is still the one who acts as our good shepherd, guiding us through this life all the way to heaven itself. So what about our elevator pitch then? I suppose you could say, well, yeah, Jesus really should be, he ought to be the center of our life. No, no, no. By God's grace, Jesus Christ is the center of our life. Jesus Christ is the Savior of us all, the Savior of the world. Jesus is the reason for everything we do as believers in him. With confidence, we say this with the Apostle Paul. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is our elevator pitch, isn't it? What are you all about? What is so important to you? Where is your confidence? It's all about Jesus Christ and knowing and trusting, believe, getting to know him better and better for yourself, and then reaching out for other people to share Jesus with them. And that has an impact then on our life, doesn't it? Because that's true, it has an impact on everything in our life. Of course, we are going to be spending more time with Jesus. We're going to be spending time worshiping Him as Crown of Life Lutheran Church together. Of course, we're going to be spending more time with Him in our homes. Personal devotions, family devotions. Of course, Jesus is the center of our life. Of course, Jesus, as the center of life, we're going to be spending our money with Jesus in mind. He's going to affect how we use our money. We are going to give Him the first and best portion of our income as a thank offering to Him. Of course we are, because that's our life. That's what we're all about, Jesus Christ and His ministry. Of course, it'll affect the relationships that we have too. Jesus will be the center of our home. And it doesn't stop there. Not only will it affect our relationships within our house, but even the different relationships we have outside the house, at school, at work, at play. We are always and forever trying to talk about Jesus and share Jesus with all the different people that God has placed into our lives and the different vocations that we have. And yes, Jesus Christ being the center of our life especially affects our life here as a congregation at Crown of Life. Everything that we do here has a direct link to Jesus Christ. Everything. It's all about getting to know Jesus more and more through faith as we study His Word and finding ways to share Jesus with somebody else. It's what it's all about. You know, somebody once said that a couple, two, three people who are absolutely, totally committed to something, 100%, can change the world. I can think of no better example of that than the disciples of Jesus. After Jesus sent them off into the world, after He ascended into heaven, the things that they were able to accomplish, the things that they did. And today, St. Paul challenges each one of us to be absolutely, totally, completely, 100% committed to Jesus Christ, our Savior, because of the confidence that we have, not in ourselves, but in Him, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Listen one more time to Paul's words, our elevator pitch. He said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen.